All right, I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thankful that He did come. Into this world as a man to live his life the way he wanted man to live, and died and rose again, overcoming sin and death and self, so that we might follow his example and be a part of his kingdom, restored to his kingdom. We're going to have a baptism after a while. That is what it represents, that we're dying to ourselves, going into the water, dying to ourselves and dying to us, and then rising to live the life He wants us to. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6 this morning. Again, in verse 38. Go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you again for your goodness and for your mercy. We just ask your blessing upon us this morning, Father, to look down upon us, Father, and help us, Father, to be faithful to you, Lord. Give us courage and strength, Lord, in this world to live for you, Father. We know there's foes on every side, surrounded, Father, by those that would hinder us, Father, from following you, Lord. We just thank you for your courage and your faithfulness, Lord. And we just ask that you give us strength and faith, Father. Just trust you, Lord. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom as we open your Word. Help us to see you and your will for our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 38 is where we'll begin. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. I want to bring out here that this eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth is justice. It's the law. That it's only right and it's fair. And that's what he's talking about. This, whenever it was about, is if you do something to someone else, then it is right for them to be have that same punishment. That's the law. If someone, you're in a fight or something and someone knocks your tooth out, then, or if someone just fights you and knocks your tooth out, then it's just and fair for their tooth to be knocked out. That's the law. But I say unto you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. This is where Jesus comes in, and this is the difference between the law and grace. The law is fair. Everything's right. Everything's made just. And so the person who has been wronged gets his satisfaction, or gets his revenge, or gets his equality, gets justice. But Jesus said that if someone slaps you on the face, turn the other cheek. The purpose for this is not so everything is equal. That's our mentality. That's God spoke the law to our reason, to our mentality, so that things could be fair and equal and right. But when Jesus came, He came to bring us above the law. To bring us not just equality, but to set us on a higher plane. So that we could rise above to be like Him. Just being fair and equal and just, having everything so-so. And it's so much our nature that we've just got to have things right. We've got to have things fixed. That is so far below. That's human. That's law. That's legality. Christ came to transform us. Our souls. He came to bring us to something much higher. So that when someone does something wrong to you, instead of you just getting equal satisfaction on a human level, that we could rise above that and be godly. That's what He's called us to do. That's what He's came to do. That's what it means to rise above. When Jesus rose from the dead and we are baptized someone and they rise, it's symbolic of us rising above justice. Rising above to what God wants us to be. Do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him that asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. Okay, now, I want to point out a couple of things here. A lot of times, in our zealousness, we just try to get ourselves slapped almost sometimes so that we can prove that we're non-resistant. I want you to look here at what it says. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. And whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Does that mean that to be a Christian, we go around and if someone just threatens us, we just give up automatically? Does that mean that if someone just, I'd like you to go 1 mile with me, we just do our Christian duty and go the extra mile? Look what he says here. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile. Is that something that you're just volunteering to do? If someone's going to sue you, is that something you're volunteering for? You see, the difference between passiveness and Christian is a Christian has the power to fight. He has the will to fight. He has the courage to fight. Because he sees and he knows what's right. But he chooses not to. A Christian is not just a bowl of mush that's just pushed around however anybody else wants to push him. There's no will involved in that. There's nothing valuable about a bowl of Jell-O when it relates to being a human being. God isn't a bowl of Jell-O just to be pushed around and pushed into any mold that comes along. That's not what He's talking about here when He talks about when someone sues you to take something away from you. When someone forces you to go 1 mile. When someone slaps you on the face. What He's trying to teach us to do when someone is going to take something from you and force you into a position or make you do something, don't let it harm your soul. rise above it. It doesn't mean you're just a bowl of Jell-O that you're just going to have to do whatever anybody says just because you're a Christian. That is not a Christian. A Christian has a strong will. That's where most people that are in passive situations, there's no will involved. They're just a bowl of Jell-O. They don't have to make a choice. They don't have to face themselves and then rise above something. They're just in a mold. You want to make a mold, a little bunny rabbit mold Jell-O? Well, okay, I'll be that. You want to make a little mold of a little flower shape in a bowl of Jell-O? Oh, I'll be that. That is not what a Christian is. When someone actually does something to you, and you realize it's wrong for them to do that, that's justice. But then you go the extra mile and you rise above what you're being forced to do. You don't stand around volunteering just to be a bowl of Jell-O. You choose to rise above when you're put into a situation that you have a choice to have justice or you can rise above it. See, the problem is, and we'll go on. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. See right here. It's more of it. You've heard that it's been said that you'll love your neighbor, you love those that are good to you, and hate those who are against you. But I say unto you, love your enemies and pray for them that persecute you. Why do we pray for those that persecute us? You know, when someone does you wrong, injustice, when someone forces you to do something, or someone hurts you, or takes something away from you, it's justice to get revenge. But when someone forces you, or doesn't love their neighbor as theirself, and they transgress against you or anybody else, who is hurt? Who is the one that's harmed? Is it the one, if I punch somebody in the nose, who's hurt? Who's the one that got hurt? On justice level, the guy with the bloody nose. Okay? But on a spiritual level, the one that does the punching is the one that's harming his soul. The one that's transgressing against loving your neighbor as yourself. That's the one who's getting harmed. And so when I seek revenge to get my justice back, I'm on the same level. I'm harming my own soul. When someone steals something from you, they haven't hurt you. They've hurt justice. But they haven't done a thing to you. Oh yeah, you might not have what you had. But we're not what we have. We're not this body. We're a living soul. And that's what we're trying to protect here. That's why we baptize people. That's why we're trying to rise above so that your soul will enter into the kingdom of God. It's not about what you're going to gain. We're not going to take anything with us. This body is corrupt. It'll die. It'll rot away. Protecting it is not a gain. But protecting your soul, that's what we're after. So when someone hurts you, they haven't hurt you. They've hurt themselves. When we inflict something on some other human being, we're taking away from our soul. We're killing our own souls. And we don't even know it. It looks like and it appears like we're gaining, but we're dying. It's killing us. It's killing us. So that's why you pray for those who persecute you. You pray for those who do wrong against you. You pray for the one who's actually had the damage done to them. It appears they're the aggressor. They're the tough one. They're the one gaining. But it's just exactly opposite. It is just exactly opposite. When they gain, they're losing. And the problem is, and the glorious thing is whenever it appears like they're taking something from you, is when your soul is rising above it. That's why it has to be a choice. That's why it's not just a bowl of jello thing that we just get pushed around. Because there's no value in being a zombie. If you don't have some temper, God gets angry. God gets angry. But then He takes that anger and puts it in a godly choice. He surrenders His will. He yields His will to a godly thing. We get upset. You know, if nothing ever upsets us, we're dead. If nothing ever bothers us, there's no life there. That's part of being a human being. But when we gain and when we overcome is whenever it has upset us. It has hurt us. It has cost us something. And we choose to rise above it. That's when you actually take a step. Being a bowl full of jello will be poured into any mold that comes along. But being a righteous person, you have those feelings, you have those emotions, and you overcome. You overcome with good. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. For they're good. They're the ones being harmed. Just like if you saw one getting beat up, Good Samaritan, the story about him laying there all beat up. You know who was hurt? You know who got hurt in all of that? You know who Jesus had to pray for in all of that? The guys that beat him up. Because they're the ones, their souls are laying there bleeding and hurt and dying. This guy's body got beat up. You pour a little oil on it, give a few days rest, and he's good as new. Those people that beat him up are dead. They won't just a little bit of oil poured in their wounds won't help them. A little Bactine sprayed on them won't help them. They've ruined their souls. That's why we love one another. We love each other as we want to be loved ourselves. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, verse 45. So that you may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. Everybody wants to be called God's son. Everybody wants to be a son of God, a child of God. We all love that thought. But you don't be one just because you want to be one. You don't want to be one. You aren't one just because you've got a gushy feeling about God. You're not one because God loves you. You become a son of God when you start applying the principles that God has laid down for us to become one. It's not a pretend thing, faith. It's a real thing, faith. Faith is when you actually make choices to rise above. Faith is when you actually make choices to be a son of God, not just pretend like you are, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For He causes His sun to rise on the evil and good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. God is good to everybody. God is good to everyone. God loves everyone. But it's only those people who choose to believe, choose to have faith, to rise above, to become the sons of God. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors the same? You know, you can go to almost any group. You can go to the bar. You can go hang out at a bar for a year and you will have friends there that will share in your misery, that'll help you out, that'll be right there beside you, as long as you're with them. They're good to their own. It doesn't matter what fraternity you join. You can join the satanic church, and there'll be people love you in it, because you're with them. It doesn't matter. That's the way it is. But to love, to rise above those who are not, that's the sons of God. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? What more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. You know, that word perfect scares people to death. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. And so we all just excuse ourselves as staying on the same level because nobody's perfect. And in that perfect sense, we don't measure up. But that's not the perfect He's talking about here. Being perfect is having the heart of God. Being perfect is choosing to do His will above your own. You know, we think of perfect and we've got some kind of idealistic perfect man up here that, oh, nobody could ever attain to. I can't be that. We've told the story about, okay, let's imagine someone in kindergarten. In kindergarten, or the first grade. And the teacher comes up and says, all right, I want you to do calculus. We would think perfect would be a kindergartner being able just to figure out pi or whatever Einstein figured out. We would think a kindergartner that's perfect would be able to spell encyclopedia right off the bat, wouldn't we? Isn't that our idea of being perfect? But you know what it is for a kindergartner to be perfect? The teacher lays a little piece of paper on his desk and gives him some colors. And there's a one there. And then there's an apple beside that one. And so he colors in those colors. And he holds it up and says, this is one. This is an apple. You know what happens? Whenever he's able to complete that task, one apple, one apple. So you hold up a one, the boy says, oh, that's a one. You hold up an apple, what's this? That's an apple. Come up here. I'm going to put a gold star on your forehead because you were perfect today. That's what perfect is. It's not some idealistic thing up here that we can't obtain and so we give up and forget about. It's doing right now the very step that's in front of you. Loving God, loving your neighbor as yourself. Rising above, not trying to create some religious fantasy of what you think you are, but just taking the next step right in front of you. If it's nothing more than coloring a one and probably not even staying in the lines, but when you get to the end of the day, you can recognize what a one is now. You'll never go any further in math until you learn what a one is. You'll never get any further in spelling until you know what an A is. A is for apple. When you learn that, you've been perfect. And now you can go on to 2. And now you can go on to B. We're so busy not obtaining perfectness, we don't even know what one an A is. Christ called us to be like Him, to be like the Father, to be perfect like the Father. And it starts with one and it starts with A. May the Lord help us to look above justice, to look above what's right, to rise above and be like your Father in heaven. Sometimes we've got to go back a few steps to get the basics down. If we have to, let's go back a few steps. Keep the basics down. We're not in a race to see who can be the most perfect one. We're not trying to impress each other. That's vain and foolish. We're just trying to learn our ABCs and our 1, 2, 3s. And we become perfect doing that. May the Lord add His blessings. Anyone have anything you want to share this morning?
His sovereign power is good.